Them for the end of service, we'll come back to them. And for now, we'll turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 6. We're going to finish up chapter 6, the Lord willing, tonight. And so find your place there, Joshua chapter 6. And whenever you find that, you wouldn't mind to stand, that'd be a blessing. There, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 22 says this: But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. That's a blessing. God did a work in her life, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Now, a few weeks ago, I started to ask Brother Josh to put the text and title on the YouTube page, which he's been awesome at, and I keep changing it on him, so sorry about that. But the title is not what we have in our bulletin. This is the title tonight. Don't rebuild the city. Don't rebuild the city. Exclamation point. Let's pray, and we'll get into it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you've worked already tonight, and Lord, we trust that you'll bless your word and work in us. Help us to be attentive, soft, ready to hear from you tonight. We love you. In Christ and I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. And so we pick up here at the end of the episode of Jericho. And if you remember way back in chapter 2, I believe it was, when they were just about to attack Jericho, and Joshua sent the spies in. Remember that? They sent the spies in and to see what the landscape was about. Now, this is well before they crossed Jordan and went into Gilgal and then marched around the city and all of that. And when they got there, the spies came in, and the people of Jericho didn't realize they were spies at first, but as they found out what was going on, they eventually somehow found out that these were spies from Israel, and they found out that the spies from Israel were staying at Rahab the harlot's house. Now, we dealt with this, but it's not like she was, everyone knew that her house was a harlot house and they found a harlot house to stay at. No, it was most likely a hotel that she happened to operate, and they were staying there in Rahab the harlot's house. And again, the king of Jericho found out that the spies were there, and the king sent men to Rahab's house and said, Now we know the spies are there. You need to give them back to us. And we know that she hid the spies. She lied, which wasn't the best plan. God could have given her better instructions about how to handle this, but she was a Canaanite, and this is how she worked. But her heart was there to help these people and to save them from the hands of Jericho. And in this process of time, Rahab also admitted to the spies that she believed in the God of Israel. She heard of the God of Israel. She heard of his power. She heard that he was going to bring judgment on Canaan that they well deserved. Rahab would have been the lowest of the low. She was a harlot in Canaan, and she knew she deserved a judgment of God. She knew Israel was going to do that. She knew Israel was going to succeed because they were on God's side, on his agenda, and she wanted to repent and of her way and be one of God's people. And so because of that, the spies told her, you know, when we attack, we're going to spare you and your family. Do you remember all this? And they said to hang a scarlet thread from her window, and that way they would know when they get there to save her alive. So then they made it across the river. They camped out at Gilgal. They marched around the city. The walls have fallen, and now Israel is going in, and they're going to take the city. And that's where we are in our account. And if you actually look back at the end of verse 20, it says, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. And so they've gone in, they've ransacked the city. And again, the reason for that is because God told them that if you keep them in Canaan, if you keep them in the promised land, they've already proven, they've had plenty of time to repent, and they refused, and they will pull you away from God's ways. And so God commanded that to spare Israel that temptation, one, but primarily to punish and bring judgment upon Canaan that's been waiting for 400 years. God commanded them to wipe out the city. But we know that there are some that were kept alive, and it was Rahab and her family. When they remember, the spies said, if you stay in your house, you and whoever's in your house will be spared. Now remember, they gave instruction, and they said, now if you end up leaving the house, you're on your own. But if you stay here in the house and you do what we've said, you and whoever's in your household will be spared. And that's exactly what happens here in verse 22. He says, Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And so Joshua, when he got there, made sure to keep the promise that was made by the two spies to Rahab. And so her entire family, we read here, followed them out of the city. They did exactly what the spies said. They cooped up in her house. The attack happened, and they followed the spies out of the city, and they were spared from the divine judgment from God, and that's a blessing. And we've already kind of dealt with that part of it, how God's grace was there even into the end. Amen? But something I want to point out here, notice at the end of verse 23 that they weren't immediately brought into the camp. And so it's not like the spies went in there and got Rahab and her family, marched them out of Jericho, and marched them right into the camp. No, actually at the end it says, and they left them without the camp of Israel. And so what's the deal with that? Why are they without the camp of Israel? Well, you have to remember, Rahab and her family, they were Canaanites. And they were, for generations and generations, not following the ways of God. In fact, actively rebelling against the ways of God. And so before Rahab and the family could enter the camp of Israel, there was a process they had to go through so that they can be, before they can be identified with God's people, because they didn't want to just be spared from Jericho. They wanted to be a part of the people of God. And before they can be fully integrated, there was this process throughout the Old Testament where they needed to be proselytized and cleansed ceremonially before they can enter the camp. They would need to address where they were not in line with God's laws and then go through that purification process before they can be brought in. And so they kept their promise to Ahab, but here's the point with this right now, that we'll build on this as we go, but here's what they did. They took precaution, Israel did, they took precaution to make sure that they didn't compromise Israel's purity as God's people. They were protecting their relationship with God, and even they had this great victory and God brought it to them, but even the good things that came out of this, they were sure to make sure that every part of this followed God's plan, even in the sparing of Rahab. And so they were protecting the purity of Israel. And so they did that. And then after they spared Rahab and her house, they burnt the city with fire. right? They burnt the city with fire, except for what was brought to the treasury of the Lord. Look in verse 24. So, and they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels and the brass and the iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. So nothing was left. They got rid of all of it. And that's what God told them to do. And they're following God's plan here. And God said, get rid of it all. We don't want any trace of this to infect Israel and pull them away from God. And so they followed the commands of God. And so these are the two things. It's kind of a dichotomous thing. There's two opposites happening. Some people were spared and others were destroyed. Some things were kept, some things were destroyed. As they entered their first battle in Canaan and taking the city, God gave them victory, and as they did, Rahab and the family was spared, and Jericho, the rest of it, was wiped out. You following me? Good things and bad things are happening here. All good things, you see, but some preservation and some destruction. Now, those two decisions that they made at that battle, here's where we're going to get to now. They were made to last. The decision to spare Rahab was made to last. The decision to destroy Jericho was made to last. I'll show you what I mean by that here in a second. Look at verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. So now we're going back to that first decision they made from God's command, you see. And her father's household and all that she had. And listen to this. This is awesome. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And so Rahab continued to live there in Israel all the way up until the book of Joshua is written. That's a blessing. And so she went on to be integrated. Apparently, at some point, she had finished the process that needed to be done, and she was integrated fully into Israel, and she was in the Jewish culture and fully integrated into Judaism and into God's people. So much so that Matthew 1:5 tells us that she actually became part of the lineage of Christ. Incredible what God did in her life. Going from a harlot in Canaan to being a great-great-great-great-great-grandma of Jesus himself. And so that's pretty incredible. And so when Rahab, she would continue to live, she would continue to thrive in Israel, and while all the while Jericho was destroyed and then cursed, never to be rebuilt. And so the decision to spare Rahab lasted and was made to last. God saved her and had plans for her, you see. And when God saves someone, he doesn't just save them from the life that they lived. He saves them and gives them a plan and gives them a new life. And he has plans for those that he saves. By the way, if you're breathing air tonight, God has plans for you. And it doesn't matter where you are or what you've done, God has plans for you. His grace is greater than whatever you've done. And how do I know that? Well, Rahab's in the lineage of Christ. And so what God did, he intended for it to last. And then the decision to destroy Jericho was made to last. Look in verse 26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. And so Joshua pronounced a curse on anyone who would try to rebuild Jericho. It's done. Jericho was defeated. Jericho was destroyed. It was burnt with fire. It's over. The battle's done. We're not going to see Jericho again. In fact, cursed be anyone who tries to rebuild the city of Jericho. And since that time, Jericho was occupied a few different times, but nobody really tried to rebuild Jericho until the days of King Ahab. Imagine that. King Ahab, the wicked king who was going against everything God was doing, and part of that is he intentionally allowed it so that Hail the Bethlehemite would attempt to rebuild Jericho's walls. 500 years after Joshua made this curse, or God did, you know, through Joshua and pronounced through Joshua. And when this man, I think it's pronounced Hail or Heel, H-I-E-L, when this man attempted to rebuild Jericho, it did cost him the lives of his two sons. Just like Joshua said, he lost two of his sons in the process. Abiram and Segub were lost in this attempt to rebuild the city. Why? Because God, when God destroyed Jericho, God intended for Jericho to be done with. You see? When God destroys Jericho, he intends it to be done. And when God saved Rahab, he intended it to last. Listen, when God gives you a victory in battle, when God helps you win a battle, he wants for that victory to last. He intends for it to. He means for it to. God didn't want them to deal with Jericho anymore. He wanted them to be done. You're done with Jericho. And move on to the next battle. We fought this one. It's over. Put it behind and go on to the next battle. And listen, if God has helped you to overcome a battle, he wants you to be done with it and move on to the next. If God's helped you overcome a battle with alcohol, you need to decide you're never going back. Never. It's done. If God's helped you to get your finances in order, you need to make a plan to stay on track and keep following him. If God gave you victory over lust, make a plan to keep yourself out of that life. You see? If God gave you victory over anger, that angry you is gone. He's done. He doesn't exist anymore. You see? And God, when God does something in your life, he intends for it to last. Now, will it last? Not always, but God's intent is for it to last, and God wants to help for you to make it last, because whenever God helps you win a battle, he doesn't want you to rebuild the walls. Don't rebuild the city. It's over. It's done with. You don't have to think about it anymore. It's over, and move on to the next battle. Don't rebuild the walls. Don't rebuild the gates. It's done. It's over. And so when Satan comes around and tries to tempt you again, hey, you remember how you used to be? Man, that person, that was one of your triggers, you know? This situation was one of those situations. Don't you want to get angry about this? Don't you want to blow up at them? You say, nope, I'm done with that. You see? That's over. When someone, when you're scrolling through your phone and an image pops up, keep going fast as you can. Why? You're done with that. You see? It's over. You have to make a decision. I'm done with that. God gave me victory and he intends for it to last. And I'm going to consciously decide I am done. I know where this leads. I know how destructive it is. I know the wickedness of it. I've experienced it, and I fought it with God's help. He gave me victory, and it's over. But Satan's going to keep attacking. He's going to keep pointing you back. Why don't you go rebuild the city? Come on, Israel. Jericho's a great place. It's right there on the edge of this of your territory. If you go build that up, it might be strategic for you. No, listen, God said, Jericho's done. You see? And that's how they were to live. And that's how you and I are to live. These should be one, as much as possible, we need to make these decisions for God, one-time decisions. Teens, adults that are going to camp, when you get there, God's going to do work in your heart. And he's going to show some stuff, and you're going to face some battles there, and God's going to be so strong on you, because you're going to be so in tune with him. You're going to be far away from your, can I say idiot friends? I always do. Idiot friends at home, and far away from your phone and all the dumbness that you're bombarded with all the time. And you're going to hear 3 to 4 messages a day, and God is going to be showing you some stuff, and you're going to say, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to get rid of that music. I'm going to get rid of that friend when I get home. If I'm in this relationship, I really shouldn't be. It's over. That relationship's done because that's not what God has for me. And I've been angry, but I'm not going to be that way anymore. I'm going to have the joy of God. I'm going to love people the way God says. You know what? I've not really obeyed my parents the way they ought to, and I've really given them a lot of flack. And you know what? That's over with. God wants me to be a kid who respects and honors his parents and obeys. And you're going to make all these decisions at camp, and it's going to feel like you've won a great victory, but you better be ready to keep it that way. And it's not like you have to muster up the strength. No, God's still there. If you've made that decision, when you get down the mountain, God's still there. You just need to keep in touch with Him. You need to keep a hold on Him. You need to abide in Him. And those decisions that you made, you need to make sure with God's help that they last. Because I'm telling you, God does intend for them to last. It's not God's plan for you to get off the mountain and stop. God intends for these things to go on. God intends for this to be the new life that you live. Your new normal. That's a phrase I don't like to hear anymore. Your new life. You're done with that. And then, so the things that God destroys in your life that need to be destroyed, keep them destroyed. Don't rebuild them. But then also keep the Rahabs in your life. If God's helped you fix something that was desperately broken, keep it fixed. You see? He intends for those to stay fixed. If God's helped you fix a broken marriage, keep it strong. Keep following Him. Stay on His page. Continue to be the husband you need to be. Continue to be the wife that you need to be. And keep that thing where God intends for it to be. He doesn't intend for you to fix it and then break it and then fix it and then break it. Actually, it's kind of ironic because after the book of Joshua is done, after Joshua is off the scene, that's exactly what Israel did. And they would go through this process where they would fix everything and get right with God, and they would be where God wants them to be. And it didn't take long that they would forget all about God and go back to their old ways and live the way they used to live and make everything a mess again. And then God would come around and he would tell them, okay, you just need to repent to me. And they would, and he would fix it. But it was an endless, a destructive cycle that God never intended for us to live. God intends for these things to last. And if they're going to last, we need to be intentional about them. I mean, if they don't last, it's not on God's end. If they don't last, it's because we've gotten lax. And yeah, Joshua, you know, he pronounced that curse all that time ago, but it doesn't really matter anymore. It does matter. And for 500 years it did, until King Ahab went and messed everything up like he does. But we need to be intentional to say, God did this, and I'm gonna within my power continue what God did in my heart with His help. I'm gonna continue this decision and keep this promise I made. If God helped you keep a consistent devotional life, don't let it slip away. Let's keep what God has rebuilt in us and refuse to rebuild what God has destroyed. You see? Maintain what God has rebuilt and refuse to rebuild what God has destroyed. And that's exactly what Joshua did. When he got done with this thing and everything was said and done, he said, Rahab, you come live with us in Israel. And he said, Jericho, cursed be the man who rebuilds. And he was proactive, and he decided, this is not happening again. That's what Joshua did. And that's what we ought to do. And then the chapter ends here in verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. You know, if you make this decision that God gave me this victory and I'm going to keep it, God will be with you. And that's the only way it's going to work. You see? And so we need to decide, God doesn't want Jericho for me. And I know that. And I also know that if I trust Him, that He will help me to keep Jericho from being rebuilt. You see? God's going to be the one to do it. But we're going to have to trust Him and follow Him that way. And because of that, God was with Joshua, and his fame went abroad throughout all the country. Now we know that the secret to Joshua's success was not his military genius or his army's skill in warfare. Now, Joshua was a military genius, and his army was pretty strong. But do you remember how they won? They walked around and blew a trumpet, and everybody knew that God did that. And so as they watched God use Joshua, Joshua's fame went around the country and throughout the land. But more than that, God's name was lifted up. And that's where we want to be, right? To live a life that says, man, look what God is doing in their life. That's where Joshua was. Victory for Joshua came and lasted not because of his skill, but because it's as simple as this. He and the people trusted God and obeyed His commands. They heard what God, remember we said this over and over. They heard what God said, they did what God said. They heard what God said, they did what God said. Even if it made no sense, they heard what God said, and they unquestionably did what God said. It was a weird moment in Israel's history where they actually did that. And God blessed in a mighty way. Here's where their success came from. Go back to Joshua 1 and we'll be done. Joshua 1. Very familiar, just to remind you of this. Joshua 1, verse 6. God told Joshua as he's taken the lead and about to do all of this, He says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." Just do what I say, Joshua, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He says, don't veer off from what I said. It doesn't matter how you think about it. It doesn't matter how much sense it makes to you. It doesn't matter what your military mind says. You do what I say. You don't veer to the right or to the left, and I'll see to it that you'll prosper whithersoever thou goest. And this book of the law, my word, my plan, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. Think on the things that I've asked you to do day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. You have to hear what I say and do what I say according to all that is written therein. All of it, not just what you want, not just what makes the most sense to you, but you do what God says. And He says, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And that's exactly what Joshua did. He heard what God said. He did what God said. Never did he just rely on his experience or his prowess as a military commander. The entire time, we see, at least up until this point, now we'll see what happens after this, right? But up to this point, Joshua and the people have over and over heard the word of God and without question obeyed the word of God. And it led them to this place where they've won an incredible victory and God has done great things in their life. And so I'll just leave you with this tonight. We have to remember that these battles we face, they're God's battles. They're God's battles. I hope they are. I hope you're not trying to face battles that God never intended for you to fight. God has battles for you to fight. And if you follow Him and if you take steps as God leads, and if you hear what God says and do what God says, hear what God says and do what God says, hear what God says and do what God says, step by step, then here's what's going to happen. God will be with you. He'll have His sword drawn, He'll fight the battles for you. And then in the end, you can say, God did that, and I'm never going back. God did that, and I'm never going back. Let's let Him win the battle once and for all. Once and for all. God, thank You so much for loving us the way You do. Thank You, Lord, for how You work in our lives. As we live this life of sanctification, as we endeavor to follow You where You lead, as we develop this skill, this muscle in our spiritual life to hear what You say and immediately follow it, I pray that You help us with that. Help us to trust You always. Help us to trust You even when it feels like we might even have a better idea. Help us to trust You even when it really, Lord, makes no sense why You're doing what You're doing or asking us to do what You're asking us to do. Help us to know who's asking us and to follow You and just to watch as You take battle after battle for us. And then, God, the victories that You've won in our life. And I'm so thankful as I just think about the people in this room, one by one, I just witnessed You win battles in each of their life. I'm so thankful. And in my life as well, Lord, help us to remember that it's You who did them. Help us to remember that You intend for them to be over. Help us to continue on and fight more battles and claim more victories for Your name. And both in our life and then in the lives of this city, that we would take ground for You, reach souls for You. All of it, Lord, for You and by You. We love You. Christ in my pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Josh is going to play a song of invitation. And if there's a battle that God has for you to fight, trust Him with it. You don't need to question Him. You know what God said. Trust Him. Follow Him. Watch Him win the battle. And when He does, stick it out. Keep following. God will do it.